Hi, everybody. I'm Danny Huerta, Vice President of Parenting and Youth at Focus on the Family. And many of us have heard of the program 13 Reasons Why. And it's very popular with teens and youth. And it's opened up many, many conversations between us and our kids, our preteens and our teens. And, you know, self-injury is one of the things that is brought up in 13 Reasons Why. And many of us don't dive into this conversation because it's so dark. It's depressing, really, and many times it goes unseen. And in fact, one in five females and one in seven males deal with this issue, and probably many of those go unreported. There are many other cases that probably end up in a very significant hospitalization, possibly, for a kid. And so this is something that's important to talk about. And on today's episode of Parents Guide to 13 Reasons Why, we want to explore this world of self-injury. What is it? What's happening? Why are the kids doing it? And we also want to equip you and help you understand the warning signs and everything that goes around this, and then how to help your child, how to help them understand what's happening inside of them, but also understand how to handle this. So joining me today are Focus on the Family counselors and friends of mine here, Glenn Lutyens and Christina Chismar, and both of whom have worked with teens, enjoy teens. Glenn, you've had teens in your life as kids, and you've known and understood the pressures that they deal with and also all the dangers they face. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Danny.
So what is cutting? What is this? What is that? When I say cutting, what does that mean?
Well, really, any form of using some type of item or object, knife, razor blade, paperclip, needle, anything to cause physical harm in an effort to try to alleviate some psychological or emotional pain that a person may be going through.
So paperclip, tell me about that. So cutting with a paperclip, what does that look like?
Well, you kind of extend it out so you can get the point, and then you just start poking. Sometimes there's kind of graduated efforts. In other words, a person may start with a paperclip or something and then go to something a little bit more intense, like a razor blade or a knife. And so it can increase over time.
It can be progressive,
absolutely.
Right? So just they start scraping. Why would a kid do this? Why would they cut themselves?
Well, I think, you know, when we have emotional, psychological pain and people don't know how to express it any other way, or they're not able to express it, having that physical pain or that physical reminder can be a way of letting out that pain. There's some thoughts that if I hurt myself, then I feel, and then I have a marker that reminds me of that I've made myself hurt.
Are kids aware that they're doing this?
Some are, some aren't. It just depends on how the kid is interpreting it or the reasons that they're doing it. I mean, the reason for self-injury can be a million different things. It's not just cookie cutter. It's not something that we can say, oh, well, you know, this is why a kid is doing this. It's kids do it for a variety of reasons.
Is there shame involved with this?
There can be.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So now let's say a child is cutting underneath clothing. Many times we can't see these cuts, right?
Right. Generally, they're going to cut in areas that are not visible, like the upper thigh or the upper arm. For girls, they'll often cut on their breasts or on their stomachs, places that you're just not able to see.
And if they are on their arms, the cuts are on their arms, and they can cover it with a shirt. So a lot of times there's an effort to try to keep themselves covered in that way.
Now, there are other forms of self-injury. I mean, I've heard of some, and I've seen some in counseling as well, where there's bone breaking or head banging up into a wall. What are some other forms of self-injury?
We see eating disorders. We see excessive exercise. Anything that somebody is doing to hurt themselves or cause pain to themselves, whether that's through something like exercise where you're exerting energy to the point where you're passing out, or you're withholding food, or being able to bang your head into the wall. There's a number of different, we're now seeing a lot of people who are obsessive with a lot of piercings or tattoos. That doesn't necessarily mean that somebody is self-harming, but it is something that we see people who are intentionally self-harming use as a way to harm their bodies. So it has to be looked at or questioned.
So in your counseling practices, what situations have your clients faced, these kids, what have they faced that's made them really want to do this to themselves? How have you seen this play out in your practice?
Absolutely. I have had a couple girls who have cut on themselves in hidden areas as a way of feeling the amount of pain that it felt on the inside. So one particular girl had been pretty abused in her family environment, and she couldn't speak or she couldn't tell anybody, but she hurt so badly on the inside that cutting herself was the only way that she could release that and feel better. I've had another girl who was visible in her cuts, and she wanted people to see because she wanted people to see how much pain she was in. She wanted the attention. She was asking for help, and it was a way of asking people for help by showing them that she was cutting on herself.
And that's where social media becomes dangerous with this,
yes.
Right? So tell me more about the attention getter with cutting that uses social media. What do we need to know as parents about that?
Yeah, so if somebody is cutting and showing it on social media, they're getting a lot of attention and a lot of, oh, I'm so sorry. No, please don't do that to yourself. We care about you. We care about you. On the reverse, if somebody is being bullied on social media, they can get the opposite of, oh, you should start cutting on yourself. Oh, you've been abused. You should start cutting on yourself. You know, hey, post pictures. Let me see it. And then it becomes something that the person then has to prove to other people that, oh, I'm brave enough to do this. Let me show you. So there's social media can work against somebody very
quickly. As parents,
we
need to be actively involved in what our kids are doing online, right?
Yeah.
Let's be aware of that. What are some warning signs that we can look for with this topic of self-injury? What are the specific things, changes in behavior, things that we need to look for?
Sometimes with looking at what clothes person may be wearing to try to cover cuts,
absolutely,
I think is important, especially when it's out of season. If it's a hot summer day and somebody's wearing long sleeves, turtleneck or something like that, mm-hmm. That may be an indication that something might be amiss.
You know, my son, we were driving. I love to bring my kids mm-hmm. into all these stories because I love them very much. So we were driving down the road and we saw, it was like 95 degrees. It was very hot. And we saw a kid, a teenager, right, with long sleeves and long pants. And he said, I wonder if that boy is cutting, because we've mm-hmm. talked about that.
Right.
A lot of kids want to sometimes hide things when they're doing this, the self-injury and the right. cutting. And so helping our kids be aware of this is going to be really important as well, because they can tell teachers, they can begin to look for warning signs if they don't themselves struggle with this.
Right.
So how do we teach our kids to be noticers in school so that they can help their friends find the help they need?
Absolutely. Watch for people who are isolating, because it's very difficult to do these self-harming behaviors in a social atmosphere. So generally, these are going to be kids who are isolating. They're by themselves. They're not hanging out with their friends very much. And so when you see somebody that's really isolating, try and engage with them and see what's going on. Look for friends who may be depressed or just silent. Those kids who just, oh, they don't talk to anybody. Well, they need to. So engage with them in a conversation and see what's up.
And even though a person may tend to hide the objects that they use for cutting, it's just good to be aware of, you know, are there some objects that might be used in a cutting way that could tell you that, you know, here might be a concern.
Great, great words. How can we help our kids not dive into self-harm as a way to handle life? How do we do that as parents?
That's really where giving them the appropriate opportunity to express themselves, just being able to voice what's going on inside, being able to talk with our kids about feelings. And I think sometimes we can tend to shy away from that, sometimes because as parents, we may not be as aware of what's going on inside ourselves. So being able to talk about when do you feel sad? When do you feel angry? When do you feel hurt? When do you feel disappointed? just being able to give expression to that and being able to give them opportunity to voice themselves, I think.
And sometimes we have a hard time with the patients for that, right?
Sure.
We're in a hurry, we're busy,
right.
And
right.
Feelings take a lot of time to talk through.
Mm-hmm. Well, right, and it's really good. I tell parents right now, you know, now's a good time to play emotional charades on a family night, you know, to make sure that your preteen or teen understands what is sad? What does it look like on your face? What does it feel like in your body? What do you do with it when you feel sad? And how do you verbalize it with words? And I think, you know, it's really important that we teach our kids not only to understand what they're feeling, but how do we communicate it with words so that we can process it and deal with it appropriately? Because a lot of times as parents, we assume kids know how to do that when really they don't.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to understand what's happening in there. And, you know, me as a parent, and I've empathized completely with parents that have come to the counseling office with a child that has begun cutting and not knowing what to do. What if I notice my child has cut and we haven't talked about it and I see something, I see this warning sign, how do I start the conversation? How do I do that?
Well, it depends on what kind of relationship with you have with your child. I mean, some parents might say, hey, you have a cut on your arm. How did you get that? Another parent may just start to notice and say, okay, instead of, you know, jumping in and asking about it, I'm going to start asking questions about, you know, hey, how are you handling emotions? What's happening with your friends? Are you guys, you know, able to talk, or, you know, how's life going? If it's just one cut, being able to know that there needs to be some education and a conversation, but you don't need to overreact to one cut because your child may not be engaging in cutting as a harming style. They may have just tried it once. If so, then we need to address it from an educational standpoint, help them understand the dangers of cutting, and then help them transition into how do I handle my emotions? What are some other healthy ways that I could positively work through my emotions in a positive, healing way?
And it's important for kids to feel like they have a sense of power. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when a person feels powerless, then cutting becomes a way of showing that they have some kind of power. So providing alternatives where they have opportunities to exert themselves, that could be extracurricular activities. It could be having a parent kind of tutor them in some ways if they're struggling in a class. But anything that empowers a child in a healthy way can counter, to some degree, obviously, the tendency towards cutting.
Absolutely. And people, I hear a lot of parents who are saying that they want to try and help their kids to feel more self-confident. And we know that self-confidence is built by having a child be successful at something that they want to be successful at. So you as a parent can't just say, oh, I think you're really good at this, you should go do it. It's asking your child or your teen, hey, what do you want to be good at? And let me come alongside of you and help you.
That coming alongside is so important. Even just taking a walk, conversations one-on-one are so important to bring up the idea that I really am in this with you, and
right.
I see what's happening, and I want to help you with it.
Absolutely.
This is one way that you can handle this, but hey, let me show you some other ways to handle this overwhelming feeling that you have inside of you. And maybe we can seek some help for you if we need to do that.
Absolutely.
And so
anything that they can do to get out of the isolation and help their kids get out of the isolation is going to be positive.
And if a parent is aware that the child is cutting, I think it's helpful for the parent just to simply say, you know, there's nothing you could do that would ever keep me from loving you. But because I love you, that's the reason why I want to ask you some questions, or why the parent is raising those questions.
Have you both been in situations where you've seen a recovery, either of you, from this self-injury
Absolutely.
Issue?
Absolutely. You know, I've seen quite a few people heal from self-injury. And generally, when we can give a person the tools to be able to deal with their emotions and give them a voice and give them the freedom to be who God created them to be, we see that self-confidence come through. And then they don't have any reason to cut because we deal with the pain on the inside in a a way that gets it out so that they don't have to carry that anymore.
The person that I was working with, we did some counseling. There had been some abuse in the person's life. And it really wasn't just the result of the counseling we did. The person was able to continue on because of a move. We weren't able to continue counseling. But the person was able to really overcome their struggle with cutting.
That's great. Well, Ephesians 2:10 says that we're God's workmanship, his masterpieces, created to do good things that were prepared ahead of time for us to walk into. What a great reminder. You both spoke into the idea of hope and recovery. It's a reminder that we're masterpieces created to do good things. And sometimes we forget that, whether we're adults or we're kids. And sometimes pain and other things jump on top of us. And we lose sight of that. And so I appreciate you both speaking into this. Now, how can a parent know when it's time to go seek a professional? Because it's out of their hands, it's beyond conversations, and we need some help before it gets worse.
So I'd say if you've already had the conversation of educating your child about cutting, you've been trying to help them be more verbal and handle their emotions, but you're continuing to see cuts, then I think there needs to be an evaluation by a counselor. And if your child's going to continue to injure themselves, a counselor needs to get involved so that there's some education about how to cut safely. Because a lot of kids who are not getting treatment and are just cutting on themselves may not be aware of safe places to cut versus unsafe places to cut. So there needs to be some education. Not that we encourage kids to cut, but we really don't want them to accidentally kill themselves by cutting on themselves because they don't know. And so getting them into counseling is sooner rather than later is going to be safer for your child.
Right.
That's great. You know, as counselors, I want everyone to know that coming into the counseling office doesn't put you in a contract that you have to be there for the next 2 years or a lifetime, right?
No,
it can be
all.
A one-time session to figure out, is this a big issue? What
Absolutely.
Do we need to do? It can be a problem-solving session
yeah.
with a family. And that's important for parents to know. It doesn't have to get awful before you go to counseling
right.
office. You can figure out, what do we need to do now because of this reality, and make it really a positive experience for the child.
And sometimes when kids hear of going to counseling, they think in their mind of this life sentence of being with a counselor forever. And sometimes I encourage parents to maybe ask the child or say to the child, if you went maybe for 3 or 4 sessions, just to be able to express what's going on in your life, be able to talk to someone, get to know someone a little bit. If you don't want to continue on after that, unless there's a really good reason why I'm saying you need to, then that's your choice. We'll let you decide. But a lot of times that helps them get over the hump of, you know, here's an individual and I don't know them and I don't want to talk to them. But if I can see it as kind of a short-term thing, it may be easier for them to agree to.
Fire your counselor, right?
There you go.
That's what we want to do. All right. So, Christina, Glenn, thanks for being on the show today and for your words on
Absolutely.
This.
Thanks to be with you.
Thank
today.
You.